Okay, thank you, and now I know who I am. Just one correction. It's an Indian to let people know about a nation. When I left Matakiyahu about 45 minutes ago, I was not a gong. That means in the last 45 minutes in the car, I became a gong. I am you're spoiled. I really... in any case, you'll permit me to sit. I've been standing most of the day giving shiurim or whatever, and not as young as I used to be. I can't guarantee that these are going to be Dvarim Hayotzim min Halev, but at least min Halev, that I can guarantee. I'll tell you the truth, I really try not to accept, especially in the summer, invitations for Motzoi Shabbos. I'm a Rav who doesn't get to rest on Shabbos, and we have a drosha between Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv Friday night, and then at 10:30 at night I give a pilpul shiur on Melechus Shabbos in my home with cholent. The cholent is the main thing, and pilpul shiur is the secondary thing. And then there's shiurim over Shabbos, and we have a Shabbaton from a yeshiva by us. I spoke for them. So I usually don't have a chance to rest too much on Shabbos, and the Motzei Shabbos is late, and I usually try to stay home. The exceptions are something that I feel I have an obligation to be at, or something that I think is important enough that I want the schus to be at. This fits both occasions. First of all, I have a kesher to Hanhola of the yeshiva here. Both Rav Blum and Rav Liv's parents are very, very close yedidim of mine. And therefore, lekoved them, I found it very difficult to say no. And secondly, the inyan, in my estimation, is very important. And my input, I think, will serve to a certain degree as a little bit of a tikkun for me. And I'll explain as I go on why I think that's important. The... I'm going to explain a little bit what chinuch is. The difference between education when it comes to limudei chol and Torah chinuch. Chazal say that if somebody tells you chochma bagoyim tami, somebody tells you that there exists chochma by the nations of the world, believe it. Goyim can be chachomim, chachmi umos ha'olam, and they can possess wisdom. But Torah bagoyim altan. Somebody tells you that Torah exists by the nations of the world, don't believe them. Categorically, can't be. Now the literal meaning of that can't be either. It can't mean that a goy can't open an art scroll chumash and make heads and tails of it. I guarantee you that a nuclear physicist who opens an art scroll chumash can understand it. Not only that, there are goyim who not only learn Torah, learn Gemara. I found that in Korea now they teach their kids Gemara. They have no Yetzer Hara not to do it, so why not? There are priests that learn Gemara, and there are priests who have written Perushim on the Mishnah. And not bad ones either. So it can't be that it's categorically impossible for a goy to learn Torah. Elamai, it's also for a goy to learn Torah. So don't believe that goyim have Torah because it's also for them. I would imagine that there are a lot of things that are also to goyim and they do anyway. So categorically to say that no goy is over the issue of learning Torah is difficult to accept. So what does it mean? What I think it means is the following. Bertram Russell was a professor of ethics in City College in New York in the 1940s. During that period of his life, he was very unethical, according to the standards of the Goyish world. He was an avowed communist. He was a he avowed free love, no marriage. He was against marriage. Even according to the standards and morals of the secular society at the time, he was not considered a very moral or ethical person. So the ethics committee of the college called him in, and they said, "Professor Russell, we have a problem with you. You occupy the seat of ethics in this college, and you're not an ethical person." He said, "What's the problem?" So 20 years ago, I taught mathematics in a college in England. I taught geometry. Not once did the ethics committee of that college call me in and say, "Professor Russell, we have a problem with you. You teach geometry in our institution, and you're not a square, a circle, or a parallelogram." I don't have to be what I teach. I just have to teach it. I don't have to be what I teach. I just have to teach it. I don't have to be a plane to teach geometry. I don't have to be ethical to teach ethics. That's chokhmah. Chokhmah is something you possess. It doesn't necessarily have to make any effect on your behavior or personality. It can. There are many fine goyim even who were tremendous chachomim, and their chokhmah did make an impression on them. But it didn't have to. Had their chokhmah not made any impression on their personality or behavior, it still would have remained the same chokhmah. There are many scientists, especially authors, politicians, to say the least, whose characters and personality are much less, leave a lot to be desired. That doesn't detract one bit from their prowess as politicians or as authors or as scientists. And their personalities and behavior doesn't add one bit to their chokhmah. It can, but it doesn't have to. You can be a fine author, and there are many of them. One that comes to mind, a famous American author, I won't mention his name, who was basically a beach bum. And if you tripped over him when he was in a drunken stupor, you couldn't tell the difference between him and the beach bum next to him. But when he was sober, he wrote good books. That's chokhmah. And you make a bracha. And a chokhmah mechach mi umasolda. Asher nosan mechach mosol the boser v'adam. The Rabban Hashem gives that chokhmah, no strings attached. He gives it away. And you can remain flesh and blood and still have it. That's chokhmah. Torah is not like that. Divrei Torah nimsholim ke'esh, the Gemara says in Eretz. Torah is like fire. Ma'esh osarosha maftorah osarosha. In order for Torah to be Torah, it has to make an impression on the person who learns it. It has to mold and change his personality and his behavior. And if the person does not let the Torah transform him, it's just a matter of knowledge, education, and not transformation, then it's not Torah. It's not Torah. Unfortunately, there are people who learn Torah and their midas also leave a lot to be desired. So how could it be? So the pat answer is, imagine what they'd be without Torah. That's not a good answer. What the real answer is? You ever go to a chasana and these bachrim come out with their hats flaming, and they don't end up being Buddhist monks that never intend another chasana in their life? The hat doesn't get burned, they don't get burned. There's a liquid they put on the hat that produces a cold flame. Looks like fire, smells like fire, sounds like fire, but it's not real fire. How do I know? It doesn't burn anything. It's what's called stage fire. Looks like fire. It's fake fire. You can have something that looks like Torah, sounds like Torah, smells like Torah. But if it doesn't make an impression on the person who's learning it, it's not Torah. Not Torah at all. About 100 years ago, in one of these shivas in Lita, which we will leave unnamed, there were 4 shiurim. This person that I'm describing was in the 5th shiur, in a class of his own, mamish. together with the Rosh Hashiva's son. And he was expected to be one of the future Gedolei Yisroel in Ilui. He knew a tremendous amount of Torah. Until one day, they found him writing his chedushim, smoking a cigar, and it happened to be Shabbos. So they asked him to leave the yeshiva. Eventually he left Europe and became one of the heads of the conservative movement in America. He knew a lot of Torah, but he didn't have Torah. He had chochmah. The chochmah that he had looked like Torah, and it smelled like Torah, and even sounded like Torah, but it wasn't Torah, because it made no impression on him. So it was fake fire. It was stage fire. So unless Torah makes an impression on the person, Torah is transformation, then it's impossible for a person to have Torah. Chochmah b'goyim tamin. If somebody tells you that goyim have the musar, they have the concept of chochmah, believe them, but that they have the concept of Torah, that the wisdom that they have has to make an impression, impossible. They don't have that concept. And therefore, when you see a chochm of chachmei Torah, you have to make a bracha. A different bracha. Asher cholak me chochmoso liyareyov. The Rabban Shav doesn't give it, no strings attached. He shares it. He comes along with it. And it's only liyareyov. You have to have Yerushamayim. And if you don't have Yerushamayim, you don't have Torah. You have chochm. That's it. So chinuch, which is preparing a person for a future, giving him the kelim, milu yodayim, that's what chinuch is. Chinuch is the hachshora that a person needs to be able to live his life as a ben Torah, to live his life as a person who is immersed in Torah. Part of that chinuch is not just filling his head with information, but it's dealing with the entire personality of that person and making sure that the Torah that you teach him has an impression, makes an impression on him. And because of that, part of chinuch is midos chovos. We're preparing now, almost reached the conclusion of Sfiras Omer, preparing for Matan Torah. What exactly are we preparing? That first preparation, the first Sfiras Omer, the chinuch says they were preparing for the original Matan Torah, couldn't be that they were preparing the wisdom of Torah, the knowledge of Torah, they didn't know what it was. The Harai, if they would have known what it was, what was the big deal of Nasa Venishma? So they didn't know what it was. How do you prepare for something if you don't know what it is? You have a course that you're going to take, and you have orientation. So usually you get a copy of the textbook, and you leaf through it, or you get a synopsis of the course, an outline of the course, something. But you have no idea what the course is all about. How in the world do you prepare? The answer is, Torah is not just knowledge. The Torah, you have to prepare yourself that you should be not asbestos. You should be able to be inflammable. That the Eish HaTorah should be able to make an impression on you. Because if you come to Matan Torah asbestos, where you're not the kind of person that the Torah can make an impression on you, then you can't ever have Kabbalah Satorah. The most you can have is Kabbalah Sachochmah. But you'll never have Kabbalah Satorah. So in order there should be a Kabbalah Satorah, Klal Yisrael to work on themselves, that there should be the kind of people that the Torah can make an impression on. And part of that is what kind of midos you have. What kind of Yerushamayim you have. The Rabbeinu Yonah says on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Im Ein Derech Eretz Ein Torah. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, Lo Yishko Na Torah La'olam. The Mishain Bo Midos Tovos. Can never be that Torah can reside by somebody who doesn't have Midos Tovos. Because you can have the Chochmah of Torah, but you'll never have Torah. Chochmah, yeah. But somebody doesn't have Midos Tovos. Im Ein Derech Eretz Ein Torah. It's not Torah. The name's Chochmah by such a person. So if we want to educate our children to be B'nai Torah, and that's the most important thing in their life, obviously, because that's what this world is all about. It's true. The main Kemach ain't Torah. But the main Torah ain't Kemach. You have to have a purpose to live before you need a reason why to create a means in order to live. But the Bavloyim, the Gemara says, were tipshim. because they used to eat bread sandwiches, bread with bread. The Gemara is not interested in telling us the eating habits of the Babylonians. The Bali Musa say, you know what it means? What it means is, if you ask the Babylonian, why do you work so hard? Parnasa. You know, you have to make a living. Why do you work so hard? Because I have to be able to live. I have to be able to support myself and be able to have the wherewithal to exist. For what purpose? Because I got to go work tomorrow. And why are you working? In order to live. Why are you living? In order to work. It's bread with bread. It's a vicious circle. There has to be something beyond that circle. The reason that I have to live is because there's a purpose to live. And that's the ikkar. And seeing to it that I have the wherewithal to be able to have that goal is also important. It's more important to have the goal than to have the means to reach a goal that you don't have. So that is the purpose. So we want our children to be able to be B'nai Torah, not B'nai Chochmah. So the education that they get has to be one where Torah becomes something that is the ikkar of their life. Asei Toros Chokvah. They have to, at a crucial point in their life, understand that Torah is the ikkar of their life. And that's the way it's going to be the rest of their life, no matter what they are, no matter what they do. Whether Torosum Umnosum or the Yofetam Torah Derech Eretz, and both ways are acceptable, and both ways are fine, makes no difference. The Iker still has to be the Torah. Person is a person who is a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, a Lomnei Torah, a Talmud Chacham. He could be a Talmud Chacham and have any Mikzoah that he wants. But the Iker is a Talmud Chacham, not the Mikzoah. That's not going to get him to Gan Eden. That's going to make it possible that he should be able to live a Torah life. But that's not going to be his purpose, his raison d'etre of living. So the ikkar is to make sure that in the crucial time of a child's development, when he is becoming a boger, he's going through adolescence, bagrut, that the ikkar becomes that bagrut becomes a Torah bagrut and not that he gets bagrut. That can't become the ikkar. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, it was always known that from the time that a child was in eighth grade and on, the ikkar was Torah. And that's what he did from morning to night to learn. It was not just learning. In the places that were Botei Chinuch, it wasn't just they stood and sat him down by a Gemara and let him learn Gemara. That's not Chinuch. Chinuch means that you taught that child together with that Gemara, Midos Tobos, Ahavas Torah. You taught him how to follow a Rebbe and to accept authority, Asei Lecha Rav. You taught him that the Torah has to be the ikkar in his life and that that's what you have to sacrifice for. And you molded his entire outlook and personality so that later, when he developed and matured, he had that as his base. And that's very important, because the Torah considers the rashis, the beginnings, the first, always important. Now, I'm a firstborn, so I have no trouble believing that all firsts are best. My brothers don't agree with that. Aleihem HaShalom. But sometimes it's true. Sometimes the first is taco the best. In my situation, it happens to be like that. But in any case, it's not always like that. So taco, why does the Torah demand the first? I would say what the Rabban Hashem should have done is say, give me some samples, first, second, third, pick the best. Not the best, not the first. And yet the Torah always wants the first, not always necessarily the best. But the first serves as the yisod and the shoresh of everything that comes after it. And when you build a building, the yisod has to be better than the materials you use on the first and second floor. If there's a small hairline crack in the foundation of a building, it endangers the entire building. And the same hairline crack on the third floor is not going to make a difference. If in a root there is the smallest blemish, it's going to come out in the plant 1,000 times. That same blemish on a leaf makes no difference. So when you're talking about the development of a child, And you're talking about his adolescence, when is that's the ratios of his mature life. We're talking about little children. We're talking about a child already who's beginning to mature physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. At that time in life, he's setting the foundation and the root for his entire existence. At that point in his life, it's important to make sure that he knows what the foundation of his existence is. That he doesn't become confused. And that he understands that Torah is the ikkar of his life, no matter what he's going to do after that. No matter what he's going to choose also to do in order to have the imein kemach in Torah. But the Torah is still the ikkar, not the kemach. You know, we all have preconceived notions that we get either from the secular world or from the previous Gilgulim that we have been in. We all came from somewhere else, if you understand what I'm talking about, right, and understand the language. Obviously, you weren't born here in Eretz Yisrael. You must have come from somewhere else, and that somewhere else has preconceived notions. America has a lot of different hashkafas, and rightfully so, than Eretz Yisrael. And we get used to them, and then we can't imagine that maybe in a different place, the hashkafas that exist somewhere else don't exist here. It says that Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. It doesn't say Bayom Ahu. Bayom Hazeh. Malame Shekol Yom Yiyu Beinecho Kichadoshim Keilu Hayom Nitna. Torah has to be new to you every day as if it was given that day. That's why it says Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai, not Bayom Ahu. Every day is a new Bayom Hazeh. Now, simply that probably means that every day the Torah should be fresh and exciting and something new and not something old. But that we learn from the Pesukim. That's that limud for that pasuk. Well, you know the pasuk for it. Beyond that, the Torah wasn't given on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai was Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Torah wasn't given on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It was given on Shishi or Shvi B'Sivan. So what do you tell me? No, it means that the process of Matan Torah started on Rosh Chodesh. So the whole process is called Matan Torah. So Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai, every day should be as if the Torah was given, and even the Torah wasn't actually given that day. That was the process that led to Matan Torah. It's not true, because the process didn't start till the second day of Sivan. Gemara says, Beferish, nothing happened on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Zero. The Rabban Shom saw they were tired from traveling. He let them unpack their suitcases and rest. That was it. So how in the world can you learn from Rosh Chodesh Sivan, where they didn't learn a word, the Rabban Shom didn't say a word to Moshe Rabbeinu, all they did was unpack and rest, and every day should be as if the Torah was given that day. What do we do on that day? No, the limud is a different limud completely, I think. Do you think the Rabban Shom was concerned that they should start Matan Torah immediately as soon as possible? He's waited like, you know, 26 generations for this day, for Klal Yisrael to be the right number in the right place at the right time, and now it is. They're Bo Midbar Sinai. Let's get started. But the Rabban Shom assessed the situation, and he saw that according to the conditions of the day, the people are tired and they have to unpack. And if I start chepping them today with Matan Torah, it's going to be counterproductive. So, Bechol Yom Yu Beinechem Kichadoshim. Just because yesterday I did it like that, doesn't mean today I have to do it like that. Because today maybe the circumstances are different. Just because somewhere else that's the way it was, doesn't mean that here that's the way it is. Because maybe the circumstances are different. Just to give you an example, so you don't think I'm some reformed rabbi that says that the Torah depends on time and place or whatever. Michtam Eliyahu. Michtam Eliyahu says that every generation has its Yetzer Hara, unique to it. And the way to fight the Yetzer Hara is to fight it on its own ground, its own terms, fight fire with fire. For instance, he says, in the Rambam's door, the Yetzer Hara was Greek philosophy. They were meshuga over Aristotle, and if Aristotle said something, it was the truth, And if it contradicted the Torah, then Aristotle was right. And those were the Nevuchim, the perplexed of the Rambam's time. So what did the Rambam do? He wrote Mora Nevuchim to show that where Aristotle was right, he didn't contradict the Torah, and where he contradicted the Torah, it was wrong. He fought Greek philosophy with Greek philosophy. So if you don't think that things change and you have to constantly assess time and place, then all these Kiruv organizations are a waste of money. Because I'll tell you, the Makara people, the way the Rambam did, go and print up Mora Nevuchim's in the language that people understand. Go to Kikar Tzion, right? Call out all these strange youth from the pubs and tell them, I know your problem. You think that Aristotle was right. So I am going to read you some choice portions from Mora Nevuchim, and will bring back all these estranged youth to Torah. You know how many people bring back? Zero. You know why? Because the Yetzer Hara of this generation is not Greek philosophy, or any philosophy for that matter. They don't even know who Aristotle is. They think maybe he's a rock star. That's not the problem of this generation. The problem of this generation is something else completely. So it's not the Torah that changes, but circumstances change from place to place. Now let me tell you why I think this is a tikkun for me. When I first came to Eretz Israel about 29 years ago, so I came, you know, from America, where high school meant that a child learns Limudei Chol on a very nice level, and that's yeshivas. I went to Tells. Tells doesn't hold of college, but high school? I couldn't imagine a bocher, 8th grade, right? What is he, 13 years old? Yeah, and that's it? Any serious Limudei Chol after that? Doesn't have, he's going to have no to add. How do you go to the supermarket? I couldn't understand it. What could it be? How could it be? And not only that, I spoke to my Rosh Hashiva of Gifter, and he also held that, you know, maybe for Chutznikim or whatever, this is a positive thing. And I got involved in Marova, with Baruch Chait, feeling that this is, you know, this is something that's necessary here in Eretz Israel. And my Rosh Hashiva got wind that Rav Shach Zatzal was coming out publicly with a letter against Marova. So I went to Rav Shach together with someone else, Rabbi Hartman, and we told him, first of all, that a lot of the information that he had about Marova was not true. That people told him things that weren't true. And we spoke to him, we explained to him, and he said, there's enough of a suffix in my mind to hold back the letter. So he told me to tell the people that have holding the letter and we're going to publish it, that he holds it, they can't publish it. They should hold it until he's mevarer the inyan. And then he said, no, no, no. And in front of me, he called those people and he said, hold back that letter. I hear other information and maybe what I wrote there is not 100% meduyak, and I want you to hold back the letter. So I sent Rabbi Hartman, because I had something else to do that night, to speak to these people and say that we were there when Rav Shach spoke to them, so we know that what he told them, and they should hold back the letter until there's a beer. And I told Rabbi Hartman, who was much younger than me, do not answer any questions that they'll ask you. Because if you'll answer one question, they'll say they made the beer and that's it. And that's what Rav Shach said, he wants to make a beer. We made the beer. And unfortunately, that's what happened. And then the letter went, whatever. In the end, Gifter told me, he spoke to Rav Shach, and Rav Shach made it clear to him that this is not what he wants in Eretz Yisrael. Not that he wants to close down Marov, not at all. In fact, Rav Shach told me personally I should stay there and remain there. He doesn't want to close it down. He doesn't want it to be the lechatchila in Eretz Yisrael. There's a lechatchila of a diyeved, and he doesn't want this to be the lechatchila. In America, it was a horashah because if they didn't have high school, they wouldn't have had yeshivas. So the Rosh Yeshiva in America held, and that's what has to be. And for America, that was what became Torah, even lechatchila. There was no other, except maybe by Satmar or by Chassidish yeshivas that didn't care about the government regulations, and they did things anyway behind the government's back. So But if you want to run a school and have it recognized by the government in America, you have to have high school. So the Rosh Yeshiva held that this is what has to be. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's a different metzias, completely different metzias. And Rav Shach held that there's a place for such a place, but it's not the lechatchila. That's not the lechatchila. And many of us get preconceived notions because of where we've come from. And we begin to think that the bidyevet is a lechatchila, and everything applies the same in all different places, and we're giving out more nevuchims when that's not what the metzias is. And, you know, there was a... I remember how this made an impression on me with something else. When I was in Miami, so there's a heter from the Sri Deish and from others to have mixed youth groups. Because if you didn't have the mixed youth group, some of these children would be lost completely. So they were matur, b'di'evit, to have mixed youth groups. I once had somebody who ran a mixed youth group, I'm not going to name what it was, who explained to me why that wasn't a b'di'evit. That's a lechatchila. Even if you can have separate groups, you but dafka have to have mixed groups. That's the lechatchila. It's absurd. They were matur it as a b'di'evit. Where that b'di'evit applied. But to turn the b'di'evit into lechatchila is also absurd. So we all have preconceived notions, and we get words, catch words that either take positive or negative meaning in our mind, like old-fashioned. Old-fashioned, especially if you're an American, is a bad word. Anything that's old-fashioned is no good. New is good. When I was in high school, they came up with a new math. I don't know, you're probably too young to remember that. They came up with a new math. So the new math made absolutely no sense, not to me at least, and not to the teacher who taught me also. She had no idea what it was all about. Sense, and it was really way out. They couldn't even have a hardcover book for it. They only had soft-covered notebooks to teach it from. After about a year, they realized the new math was going nowhere, and they were just confusing kids, so they had to go back to the old math. But chas v'shalom to say they're going back to the old math. Because who in the world wants old math? So they created that the old math was now called the new math. And then it was okay. As long as it was the new math, it was the same old thing they had the year before. But that's okay. Words take on values when they have no values at all. And people get used to catch words or whatever, and you have preconceived notions that apply somewhere else and don't apply here, and it's very hard to break out of that. It took a long time for me to come to the Hakara. Believe me, being told something by Rav Shach directly helps very much to get out of the... And my Rosh Yeshiva, and he told me, don't worry, we will explain it to Rav Shach, and Rav Shach ended up explaining it to him and to me. And that's the Metzias here in Eretz Yisrael. There's a place for places like Marava and similar places, but that's not the lechatchila here in Eretz Yisrael. And there has to be a reason why somebody can't have the lechatchila to have a bidyevet. But that everybody should be with the bidyevet makes a bidyevet kind of chinuch. And what's missing from that is this idea of asei toros chakva, that a child at this crucial time of his development should understand that the Torah is the ikkar in his life, and later on he can add anything. You can get bagrut, you can't be mitbager later, but you can get bagrut later. And you can get a parnosa later, and all these things can be done after high school. But to take those few years that a child has to really hone in on working on himself, and a real yeshivik tana, is not just a place where you give a kid a gemara and tell him to learn. Unfortunately, today there are many yeshivas that are not yeshivas. They don't have rebbeim, and they have just they batei midrashas where people sit and learn. But a real yeshiva is where there's a rebbe, there's a mashgiach, there's somebody on top who has a kesher, where a child learns what it means to have a kesher with a rebbe, to be a talmid, to be nichna. That's what chinuch is. Chinuch is not just information; it's transformation. So if you have a yeshiva ketana that understands that, you want to hear about this yeshiva ketana, you understand that. The rebbeim, who have a kesher with talmidim, who teach them more than just the Gemara, but the Gemara in light of what it means to be a Bal Midos, what it means to be a Yirei Shamayim, what it means to be a person with a Achrayus for Klal Yisrael. And all of that is not a stira to the Gemara. You don't need extra time and extra subjects. It's all part of the same Rebbe who's teaching Arba Avos Nezikin, is teaching it with that Ava, with that care, with those Midos Tovas. All comes to the same thing. All comes. It doesn't have to be a separate subject. It's all the same subject. Depends how you give it over. That's the Lechatchil. And that creates a child who understands what Torah really is, and then later on he can go whatever he wants. He can be a Yofa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, he can be Torah Sum Naso, Shevet Levi, he can be the Shevet Zvulani, whatever Shevet he wants. But at least he has the Yisol, the Reishis, his Torah. I are their children that need something else, that perhaps need a B'dievet, 100%. But that's something, a Diyun, that each and every parent, together with their Das Torah, has to make. Is my child the Yotze Min HaKlal? Not necessarily bad. The Yotze Min HaKlal, that he needs something different. But that should become the Lechatchila, it's a completely different world. So that's what Chinuch is all about, and that's what the Yeshiva Ketanas in Eretz Yisrael are based on. And that's the way it was before. America is a Yotze Min HaKlal in the world, to have high schools the way that they do. And there was a reason why. But again, that doesn't mean that because in America it was a lechatchila, that in Eretz Yisrael it's a lechatchila. Because the conditions here, you all know, are completely different than what they were. And the world is a different world also. And a child really needs an extra amount of chizuk in the world we live in. Because I don't know if I would be growing up and be a teenager in this world if I could ever survive. 100% not. The worst you could do, I mean, it tells, what could you do? Get off a radio. Right. What could you do with a radio? Right. That was the guy on a radio, that he was a bum. Out. Today, on the radio, Baruch Hashem, you can't see anything, and yet, what could they have on the radio? Today, the Yetzer Hara is everywhere. It's in your pocket. It's the whole world is there. And that's only one part of the Yetzer Hara. There's a million other things. So growing up is very, very difficult. And if you don't give a child a extra strong measure of Torah and Yirei Shamayim and Midos Tovos, and you dilute it and put his mind on a million different things, so he never gets that Yisod, and that for most children is a big sakon. Are they Yotze Min HaKlal 100%? Who's a Yotze Min HaKlal that needs a lot of Das Torah and a lot of Chochmah and a lot of machshav? But that's what a yeshiva ketana is all about here in Eretz Yisrael. And the Baruch Hashem, there are yeshiva ketanas that understand what chinuch is. And I know the hanhala here, and I know their parents also. And one of them, at least, a Talmud of mine. So he had good rebbeim. So I know that what they intend to do is with tremendous machshava tova, tremendous ratzon tov, and they're very capable people and can implement all those ritzonos atovos, and Amir Hashem, they should have tremendous hatzlocha with all of their talmidim and raise b'nei Torah, that a real B'nai Torah, that whatever they'll do in life, whether they're Torosum, Nosum or not, that's not the Ikr. The Ikr is that whatever they do, they're doing it as solid B'nai Torah. And everything else is a tofel. Everything else is just a means to reach an end. But the end is what kind of B'nai Torah, what kind of Yirei Shamayim, what kind of Bal Midos, and what kind of Talmud Chacham you are. And that is their goal. And Mirtz Hashem, if they have people who support them, who understand that, support them tarti mashm, both with funds and with talmidim, then Mirtz Hashem, this will catch on, and there'll be a dugma for others, and Mirtz Hashem, there'll be many yeshiva ketanas like this that will really fulfill what a yeshiva ketan is supposed to be, the real lechatchila, the mahadrin, And then, if it's Hashem, Klal Yisrael will be much better off, and will be able to see from those kinds of children growing up to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the coming generation, with those kind of leaders, no shaila that the ultimate leader will come, the V.S. Goel Tzedek, Meir of Yomim.